This is Gorton W2TTT. And just scratching around for a microphone here. Just bear with me 1 second, W2TTT.
There we go. That's much better. Okay. Alrighty, everybody. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Technical Net. This net is run weekly on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter FM repeater in Alpine, New Jersey, operating on a frequency of 146.955. To access this repeater, you'll need a minus 600 split, and you'll need a tone of 141.3. This net is run out of a repeater in Alpine, New Jersey, and also is serviced by the Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet -L Echo Link. I'll repeat that. Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet -L Echo Link. Purpose of this net is to carry out a conversation. And the conversation is about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, computers, telecommunications, natural phenomena that support these things, techniques that we as amateurs or as experimenters like to do, service that we can provide, and again, the techniques that we apply to getting it done, and the like. So, even if you don't have a question for the net or a topic you specifically want to raise, we would ask that you join us, and meaning, you know, join the net. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Any licensed radio amateur in the 2-meter band in these here United States is welcome to participate in this net, and we hope that you will. Again, the purpose of the net is to have a conversation. So it's perfectly reasonable to check in with no questions or comments. You can check in with questions and comments too. That's fine. But you need not have questions or comments to check in, and we hope that you'll do so. So as we get ourselves organized and orderly here, we'll start the net. So let's do the following things. We will take an Echolink check-in eventually. So any stations wanting to participate via Echolink, that's fine. And by the way, even stations who can hear the repeater are welcome to participate via Echolink K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. And the reason for that is because you also have a texting capability underneath that. So do keep that in mind. So with no further ado, let's go to the Whiskey 2s. Any Whiskey 2s, please call K2BARW2TTT with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Over.
This is W2JEK, Don. Nothing, no comments. Only a minute. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I do have an announcement of the VE session. That's all. Back to that.
Got you covered, Mr. Don. Any other whiskeys?
The above, over.
I'm sorry, W2JC again.
Whiskey 2 Juliet, Charlie, Jim, none of the above, over.
Okay, yeah, I was a little quick on the trigger there. Sorry, Jim. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W1AU, Bill.
Thanks, no questions, no comments.
Okay, I got W1AU, Bill. What's your status, Bill? There are two of you in there.
Sorry about that. No questions, no comments.
No problem. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments. No comments.
All right, I got Charlie. Boy, a lot of whiskeys tonight. They're all very assertive. Very nice, Charlie. Welcome aboard. Who is the station at double with Charlie?
W2LCN. Name is Rick. No questions or comments.
I got you, Rick. Thank you very much. And the other whiskeys.
W2CH Ray. Good evening, Gordon. None of the above.
Where were you guys last week? Boy, Ray, we missed you too last week. A lot of the usual suspects were missing. We had a very lively net too, but a lot of the suspects were missing. All right, any other whiskeys? Okie dokie. How about tonight we do the Novembers?
Can you be here? This is N2OEL, but only one 8-minute question.
Oh man, might be a short net tonight. Just kidding. Actually, I have some things I could throw out there. All right. Any other Novembers?
I don't believe it. NS2K, no question at this point.
Yeah, so it says the guy who asked the question has been after the net ended last night. We ended up being, or last week, we ended up being there for, how long was that? Another hour plus another half hour on the phone? Yeah, okay, whatever works for you, Jim. All right, very good. Any other Novembers? Okay, we're going to try something really bizarre tonight, so I just need people to hang with me. Any station whose call sign begins with a kilo, but not a kilo, but excluding kilo twos.
KC2NKU, the name is Marilyn, Marylyn. No questions, no comments.
Thank you, Marilyn. I knew someone would appreciate this sense of perverted sense of humor that I've got tonight. Any others in that category?
Uh-huh.
Okay, any other kilos?
This is K2ZO. No questions, but one comment. Back to that.
Okay, Jim, very good. I got your comment. So noted. Any other kilos?
This is K2AMI, Tony. No questions and no comments tonight.
Okay, Tony, very fine. Any other kilos? Alrighty, Alpha stations.
K2BAR. This is Alpha Juliet 4, Whiskey Delta, Bobo.
Evening, Rachel. Questions, comments, confusions, whatever, where are we?
No questions. Actually, yes, I have a question and a comment.
All right. Very good. Rocking and rolling. All right. Any other alphas? Okie doke. Any other stations on the repeater?
Kilo Charlie 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray.
Hey, Robert. Welcome aboard. I trust that you have questions or comments? No, yes, maybe.
I'm headed home from Gordon. I'm just headed out of the Civil Air Patrol meeting.
I was probably there as you were getting there. Just a few minutes after 7, I was picking up James across the way. Alrighty. Got to connect to the K2FJ site myself. Any other stations on the repeater before we go to the echo link?
Connected W2KTT.
Well, we actually have a rather nice list. Oh, I got to get rid of that background noise. Hold on a second. I just didn't think you wanted to hear me endlessly echoing back, so sorry about that, folks. Alrighty. I guess our first comment is going to be Mr. Bonser with some words of advice about getting licensed. WTJEK, K2BAR, WTTTT.
I'm the net W2JEK. Just want to announce that we are having our next test session on Friday, November 18th at 7 p.m. at the high school. And we will start at 7 o'clock and we will have all tests available. Test fee is still $15. And bring one photo ID, two non-photo IDs. And if you have a license and you're upgrading, please bring your original license and a copy of the license so that for our records. With that, back to net. W2JK. Thank you, Gordon.
Right, and that's at the, Westwood High School in Washington Township. At 7 p.m., right?
That's correct, 7 p.m.
Very good. Thank you, Don. Any questions for Don? Alrighty, well, that makes that simple. Alrighty, let's see. The first thing the angels did say, what is your question? Toyel, K2BAR, WTTT.
Okay, I suspect that you could have to look up this word. The word is P-E-U-K-E-R-T. Perkins number?
P-E-U-K-E-R-C?
P is in Tom. Okay, what happens is, I have a couple batteries. They're 12 amp hours. And I wish to operate a 10-meter radio that draws approximately 6 amps maximum in sideband mode, most of the time much less, with a pair of 12-amp-hour batteries. Now, the battery's a little bit older. Their internal resistance has come up a bit. And one of them, when fully charged, has a voltage of, almost 12.9 volts. If you take it right off the charger. The other one's 12.6. And if you take and put a small light bulb, you know, not 1156, but something that draws half an amp, both batteries will sit here in the shack and they'll still be going the next day. I mean, prettier 20 hours. Okay, the problem is the 12-amp-hour radio. One of the suggestions for running the radio was to just hook both of them in parallel. Now, of course, you can't just figure the amp hours, because if you say, okay, 12-amp-hour battery, 1 amp for 12 hours, it doesn't work that way. What happens is, of course, it's figured at the 20-hour rate, so you're figuring, what, a third of an amp for, maybe more than a third, but yeah, a little bit more than half amp, would give you a 20-hour rate. But the charge is not linear, and there's a formula, and the charming name is called Perkins formula, which is time equals C over I to the nth power, where C is the theoretical capacity in amp hours, I is the current in amps, T is the time in hours, and N is the Perkins number for the battery. If the battery to the first power is the best, but 1.3 is like not so bad. I mean, not so good. And what happens is if you're drawing a reasonable amount of power and your perfect number is 1.3, you'll get half the time out of that battery. So, I put forth the hypothesis, that little device that I sent you a picture of a couple days ago, which takes 24 volts and puts out a 13.8. Ignoring the fact that the radios are half a year, but a constant 13.8, and taking into consideration the battery's a little bit older, higher internal resistance, my hypothesis is that even though the device is only 90% efficient, it takes in 24 hour volts or whatever, puts out 13.8, and even though it has a constant load, even if you had no load on it, of about 100 mils, it is more efficient on the battery, because of course if you put the battery in the pillow, the higher charge one will drain into the lower charge one. If you put the battery in series, your amp hour draw, your amps through the batteries will be half. And using the I squared R loss theory, you only have 1/4 of the loss, not to mention, because you're drawing at a lower rate, this Perkins number means that you'll get much more juice out of it. So my theory is that even with the overhead of this electronic device, you're better off using the electronic device rather than just putting the two batteries in parallel. So back to that KWR is well young.
Is the capacity rate in ampere hours over the actual current and the time you want. You take that to the K constant power and then multiply it times H, which is the rated discharge time in hours. That'll give you the actual time that it will take you to suck down the battery.
You doubled.
Thank you, Don. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Noel.
Noel one.
Oh, right. It'll be that way. All right. So I didn't hear what you said, so without repeating the whole thing, does anybody have any comments on what Noel said?
W2CH.
Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes. Well, and Gordon, I just want to mention I've got 2 7-amp batteries. They're both of the same age, so they're new, and they're running, you know, around 12 volts or so charged. I use a trickle charger to do them, and they're in a go box with the MFJ4416B. I just did this in the last couple of months, and I set it for a low voltage of 9 volts. And it's basically a battery booster. I think there's another company, TGE, that makes one. But I have not run into a problem with one draining the other, but I just thought I'd make that comment from my experience. Back to Ned.
Okay, and using the MFJ boost regulator with it?
Sorry, did you say with the booster? Please repeat.
Yeah, the boost regulator is the MFJ.
Yeah, the boost regulator has actually a remote control I got with 2 meters that shows the input and the output voltage. You can have the boost in certain ways. You can have it always on transmit. There's even there's the remote that comes out of like an RJ type cable that goes to the remote, and that's on top. The booster's inside the box with the back of the rig sticking down as I did it with this Home Depot box, and the 2 batteries are in there on either side to balance the box. I have an antenna connector and I have a speaker mounted, so it's a whole go box, but that's what I use it for.
Awesome. So
question. Do you, by any chance, have the ability to take a picture of it, maybe with a camera phone, and text it to me, or email it to me?
I'm sure I have pictures. Matter of fact, it was written up a month ago, the basic part of it. I changed speaker and meters in the PCARA, the Peekskill Cortland Amateur Radio Association, the PCARA.org update. And there might be more in the new issue coming out this weekend showing the booster, which I got since. And I have pictures too, so no problem. I could send it to you.
That'd be great. I'd like them personally. If anybody else wants them, we can certainly make them available, and with your permission.
Oh, sure. Actually, I based it on from a couple of months ago, the radio in the box that was in September QST. But I couldn't put an HF rig in. That was too big. But I put my ICOM ID880H in, so I'm portable, or emergency power, whatever you want to call it, with the D-Star and analog.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. Oh, and by the way, you can put a you can put a an HF rig in there. It's just a matter of how. I have a 7000 and a DR-135 in a box, along with an antenna tuner and miscellaneous other. I don't know if you've ever seen mine, but mine's pretty obnoxious. But it's like a foot plus square or cubed, but it works real well. It's a complete station in a box. Alrighty, well, any questions on either of the two topics that we've gotten to? There's a lot to be said about voltage, you know, about battery capacity, and you know, if you have to pay attention to what the expected discharge rate is, because if you're more aggressive on it, then you will find that it will not give you the rated capacity. Further, sometimes your radios are going to object to low voltage. Noticeable for that. A lot of other radios are too. They just don't get the quite the press. I know my Elinco's don't like it either. What's nice about the Elinco, the modern Elinco mobile radios, is that they actually have a function where you can actually press some front panel keys and magically get a voltmeter reading on what's happening to the radio on receive and also transmit, which is very, very cool. That's one of the reasons why I mounted an Elinco. That and a built-in TNC board, or why I built mine with an Elinco as the FM rig. Anybody comment?
I got one comment about the voltage cutoff that he said of 9 volts.
Yeah, go right ahead.
In general, you probably don't want to take more than half of the capacity out of any battery if you expect to have long life. If you don't care, well, many of these inverters are set at 10.8 volts to protect the battery system. That leaves you maybe 20% of the capacity left. Believe it or not, somewhere a little under 12 volts, when your battery hits a little under 12 volts, you've used up 50% of the capacity.
Yeah, I'd probably be willing to take a you know, a seal lead acid or you know, even a deep cycle marine down to about 10, somewhere between 10.5 and 10.8 without too much of a conscience. But 'tis best to run without the boost regulator as long as you can, number one. And number two, to run possible power level as possible. And never leave the boost regulator on in receive monitoring mode. It just does not make sense. If you're actively using the radio, then flip it on. If not, let it just float off the battery to minimize that voltage drop, drain on the battery, the current drain on the battery. Anybody else? Well, that was entertaining, Mr. Noel.
I made a little mistake. You see, I figured these things weren't going to sell for a buck or two with shipping, so, there was bids on them, and some of them had several bids. So I went in a few pennies higher, and I won five of them.
What is this, then?
Well, I figured the smallest ones would be great for running an HT off of any voltage. You could slip it into an old battery case. I like to run my HTs on approximately 9.6 volts to give me 3 watts out.
Oh, so these are batteries?
No, they're actually a device that, depending on which one you get, you can put anywhere from 10 volts to like 30 volts in, and you can get anywhere from, I think, 2 or 3 volts up to, I don't know, 15 volts, 18 volts, out. And you can set it. And it doesn't much matter what the voltage coming in is. So they're a DC to DC converter. Basically, a high-frequency switcher going into a coil and a capacitor.
Oh, that's pretty neat. That's very neat. I don't know if you remember those small blue batteries I bought. They ended up allegedly 12-volt batteries, but they're really not. They're lithium-ion. They'll give you 12 volts for a while. But they were better suited to run HTs for extraordinary periods of time. They're also good for running things like ICOM 703s that are designed for 9 and change volts. So all that's kind of good. Avoids that boost regulator thing. But anyway, very, very good. Anybody else? Mr. Noel, anything else from you?
No, but I got a couple of them. I'm going to bring them to coffee tomorrow and show them to Mr. Joyce so he can expound on it.
We'll try to get the coffee tomorrow. We'll see. I got a lot going on, but we'll see. Maybe what I can do is convince Nancy to go out the door for coffee, and I'll just take her to work at 11 o'clock. Maybe that's kind of a flip the script kind of deal, instead of taking her to work and coming to coffee. So, we'll see. Alrighty. What else? Alright. K2ZO, you had a comment. K2BAR, W2TTT.
Okay, W2TTT, K2ZO. I missed some of the dialogue here because I did have a phone call. The only comment I really wanted to make was a couple of people were talking about the upcoming contest. This weekend is the DX contest. And with the bands in such great shape, you'll be able to work almost anything with just a piece of wire out the window. And I just wanted to explain what this is, the CQ Worldwide DX contest. It does not operate on the warp bands. And that the exchange is the ITU zone. ITU zone is the exchange. So you would give the station like a 5-9 and 05. We are in zone 5, ITU zone 5. And he would, of course, give you his your signal report, 5-7, 5-8, and his zone, which whatever it was, 44, 38, hopefully 43. And that's about it. Back to net, K2ZO.
Yeah, that's an important changes the zone. Is there a serial number required?
Oh, that's what makes this contest so much easier.
Yay. My favorite thing what people used to do to bust horns before computerized logging, they would start off, you know, with, you know, 1, 2, 3. And every hour, they would go to a new 100 block, drive the competition crazy, trying to figure out how many they actually made.
I used to do that all the time.
I know. It's so wrong, it's beautiful. Okie doke. All right, very good. What's the period of the contest?
What was your question?
What is the period of the contest? Friday night at 8 until when?
0000 Zulu to, you know, the 00 Zulu on Sunday.
Any limits on the number of hours to operate out of the 48-hour period?
Limits.
No limits?
Do not believe so.
How delightful is that? The ultimate Iron Man contest. All right. Very good. Very, very good. And this is the phone weekend, yes?
Yes. Yeah, this is really a contest for multi stations. And that's basically what's going to happen. You're going to see some people rolling up some incredible scores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen the scores in this contest. It's like mind-numbing, you know, tens of millions of points. Anybody have any questions for Jim? All right, Rachel, we're going to go to you in a second. Just want to see, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2ARW2TTT. AJ4WD, K2BAR, your question or your comment, in whichever order you want. Okie dokie. AJ4WD, K2BAR, W2TTT. Okie doke. Well, I saw something interesting that came out this week, I think it was this week. The Deployable Aerial Communications Architecture, DACA. FCC is going to be involved, and FEMA is involved, and all those other nice folks. Homeland Security, all those nice folks. But basically, they're looking for strategies for, shall we say, in emergencies, especially when infrastructure has been wiped out, to deploy, various technologies quickly and efficiently, and preferably with things with high loiter times, or enough loiter time to be useful in support of either the emergency responders or for the public at large. The general strategy is to limit, besides public safety radios and stuff, the idea is to have cellular service for 911 and for selected priority users on the cellular network, but basically everybody else's phones wouldn't work except for when they wanted to make a 911 call on an emergency situation. It would also potentially have on the platform Wi-Fi for that perimeter, and would support them in that regard. So I'm kind of curious what people have thought about that. Any aerial platforms they want to go play with? Has anyone ever played with a balloon? Not so much, I think several of you have played with balloons to hold up wire antennas. But has anyone actually deployed, some sort of, relaying device and tracked it, from a balloon or some other platform? If you look up DACA, Deployable Aerial Communications Architecture, you'll read a few pages. If you don't have the patience to read through the whole thing, read about the first four or five pages of meaningful text and read the next steps at the end. And that will give you enough to not make your mind melt down. Anybody else have any comments? Alrighty. Well, nothing heard. Any other check-ins, please call K2BAR, W2TTT.
K2BAR, KC2VBU, mobile.
Hey, Steve. How are you? KC2VBU, K2BAR, W2TTT. What can we do you for, sir?
Well, I'm just traveling on my way home, and, you know, I left the radio on in the car, and I guess the net was on the air when I got in, so I thought I'd check in. I'll just be listening on the side. Thanks.
Most excellent. Hey, I have a quick question. Would you be interested in heading off for a nosh?
Maybe.
All right, if we don't get another question in another minute, I'm putting my shoes back on and heading out the door. I'll meet you someplace, probably where I can find ice cream, but anything's good. I had dinner already, but what the heck?
Okay, well, let me know afterwards.
Yeah, where are you on your journey?
Traveling south on 17, coming into Madison. I don't know, Oradell Avenue area.
Okay, well, that's easy enough. Don't get off 17 yet. Anybody else have any questions or comments for the net tonight?
KC4WD.
KC2RX, I heard you and I heard Rachel. Rachel, we tried to get your comments before. We were kind of wondering, Robert, are you registering questions or comments, or what are you going to do?
I'm QRC. I'm at my QTH. So I enjoyed listening to that tonight, and I'm going in to warm up and get some sleep.
Okay, very good. Alrighty. Let's see. AJ4WD. K2BAR W2TTT.
K2BAR, AJ4WD. I'll first start with my comment, and that is we're in the planning stages of running an extra class. It'll be held at the Township of Washington Senior Center. It will be starting on January 6th, and it'll be running for 8 weeks. We'll have a 9th week, which is going to be a quick review session, and then the 10th week will be the BARA test session over at the high school. So I encourage anyone that's interested in getting their extra class license, or anyone that they know that's going to want to join a class, to get in contact with me so we can put a roster together. That is the comment. Back to K2BAR.
Great, Rachel. That's super. Starting on Little Christmas and going for 9 or 10 weeks. That's awesome. Or 9 weeks of including the review, and 10th week is the test session. Super. Anybody have comments for Rachel or questions about the test session? I mean, about the course?
W2JEK.
Don?
Yeah, what is the date that you are asking about for the test session?
Don, I believe you run test sessions the third Friday of the month. Is that correct? And we're going to be running the class on Friday nights. So the third Friday of the month of March would be when they would take their exam, because that would be 9 weeks after we started.
Okay, I have that down in my book as a proposed test date, so that'll work out great. Okay, very good. And I have to give some dates into Jim for these sessions and check them out with the school too. So, okay, if usually, and if there should be such a thing as a glitch with the school, then we'll have to just choose your week one way or the other. But I'll have to work that out with Jim. Okay, thank you very much. W2JK.
I might be able to help you with another location, nice quiet room if you need one on that week. If you want to maintain the week and just move the location, Don. That's super. Also, I'm running a one-day tech course on the Friday before New Year's. I believe that's the 29th of December. I think that's right. 29th or 30th, whatever that Friday night is, or Friday. But anyway. We'll talk more about that later. And Rachel, you had another comment or a question.
Yes, I do. One of the questions I have, I guess I have two questions. One is general in nature. Hi. I'm interested in running a general class, teaching a general class. I have two students, and I wanted to get that out there because we need to get that on the calendar as well. So if there's any interest in upgrades from technician to general, please also contact me so that we can start to coordinate a class and a session and a location for that.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Alrighty. Anybody have any comments for Rachel about a possible general class?
B2JK.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my last two sessions, I each had three applicants, and each of the three applicants on each session walked out with a general ticket. So people are coming in and upgrading.
Very good. And Rachel, what is your last question?
Okay, the last question is, this weekend we're going to be having some DX contests. And I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about protocols on how that's going to be run, or you know, what's a good way of running that. Do you have any suggestions, any direction as to a better way or a worse way? I've heard people calling CQ in a lot of different ways, using a full phonetic followed by letters, phonetic letters, or just letters, and I figured if we've got some good band conditions, there might be a couple of other people out there wanting to jump in and take advantage of that, and maybe we should just give them a quick overview as to a pop ticket for a contest, and the way that we should query as well as respond in a contest situation.
That's a great topic. Okay. Alrighty. I don't know who's best to organize this, because it would not be me. I mean, there's two basic strategies, and that is the just endlessly call CQ. If you've got a good strong signal on a frequency, just call CQ, and as long as the cows keep coming, keep working them. But the other one is the search and pounce. And sometimes people use two radios, sometimes on the same band, sometimes on different bands, and do one or the other on each band alternately, unless the contest requires that you be on one band or the other for a set period of time before moving. Again, I don't know what the rules are for this contest, so I'm not really well situated to that. I know there are other people who use dual receive and separate antennas and, you know, one audio channel in one ear, one audio channel in another. But in general, you know, calling CQ and running stations on your frequency is only good if you have a demanding signal with a demanding with a commanding control of the frequency. Otherwise, you're better off in the search and pounce mode. That's the general strategy. Real quick, before we get into this more, KC2BBU, K2BAR, W2TTT.
KC2BBU.
Yeah, give me a landline when you get a chance. I tried to call you before.
Okay, roger that.
Yeah, on my cell, whatever. All right. Rachel, I'm going to turn this over to you and to... my guess is the only contester that's in this group really is either Don or Jim. It would be my guess. If I left somebody out, just shoot me later. But Don, Jim, or Jim, actually, I think are the only contesters we have on frequency. So, WD, K2BAR, W2TTT.
A2PAR, AJ4WD. So I guess Gordon has opened it to questions. Does anyone have a comment with regard to my question?
is K2ZO.
K2ZO, please respond.
Yeah, as Gordon said, Rachel, the two main ways of operating the contest are, first of all, hunt and pounce, hearing the DX station that you want to work. And, of course, a lot of people use the contest as a way to get new countries. They're not really in the contest to win it. They may never be equipped to win it, but it's a great way to get a new country. Also, the other thing that you should be doing, and you could try it right now, is go to dxwatch.com. You know, http://www.dxwatch.com, and look at the DX cluster. Okay, right now there are guys in South America posting contacts with Japan. Okay, on that site you'll see people posting DX contacts and the frequency, so you can pounce on them. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, get on to, there's a couple of them, but this is the cluster, and the DX cluster, it's called, and you can dxwatch.com, and take a look at it, and you'll see right now that people are, like, on 80 meters, there's all kinds of DX going on here. On 10 meters, it's still open. There's people coming up here from Chile, and there's all kinds of stuff being posted on there. So take a look at it, and you can use that during the contest. That's called the assisted mode. And also, the other thing, of course, as I mentioned, it's either like hunt and pounce, or if you've got a strong signal, you run the frequency like we do on field day. But that's really reserved if you've got a kilowatt and a beam. It's hard to stay and run a frequency without that. Back to that, K2ZO.
Thank you, Jim. The other question I would have then, when you say pounce, what is the proper etiquette for pouncing? Do you just keep saying your call letters until someone is recognized? Do you wait until the final QSO is over? Do you, when the one station announces 73, do you come in and pounce with your call? You know, what's the proper etiquette in a contest environment?
There's very little etiquette among contesters. Of course, announcing the guy's call is useless. He knows his call. He's owning the frequency, and all you need to do is announce your call. Strictly speaking, you're supposed to announce your whole call. However, the FCC really doesn't make much of it if you just use your suffix. So if you got...
W2CH comment.
W2CH go.
Yes, Rebecca. Also, some stations will announce during a contest or other openings the DX station. They're listening up 5, they're listening up 10, so don't transmit on their frequency. Do a split and tune above there and call. If you forget about it, sometimes there'll be a police station, using quotes on that, who will come back to you and admonish you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dad.
That's one thing on the on using. Plus, I use QRP most of the time, and I do strictly search and pounce. And you'll find that the higher bands are probably better, such as 10, 15, and 20 meters, than, let's say, 40 or 80, but you have some fantastic antennas on those bands, or 160 meters. However, even if you work a Canadian station on 160 meters, or at 80 meters, they count 2 points for each of those Canadian contacts. You get, I think, 2 points or whatever the point that your points are for, and also the zones. Like you can contact us. We're in zone 5. Zone 3 is California. Zone 4 is the Midwest. So if you contact, so you these they count on zones on some of these on these too. Actually, that's what the exchange is, the zones. So make sure you work not only a station in your zone, but Midwest for zone 4 and California for 5. One other thing, when you're giving your call, you just give your call once and use the standard phonetics, especially with a foreign station who does not know that Zebra Ocean is not K2ZO, it's K2 Zulu Oscar is the proper phonetic for your K2 Zulu Oscar, not K2 Zebra Ocean or some other fancy thing that might be understood by an English-speaking person, but somebody who's from a foreign country might not. And also that it carries through better. Those phonetics were picked out for just the ability that they carry through better with all the splatter and everything that's going on in the band. That's a thing to keep in mind. Back to that.
Thank you, Don. Was there another comment?
Say again.
I heard another station sound like they were doubling with you, Don, so I was just asking if there was another station with a comment.
Yeah, I fixed my battery. I made a transmission before, Rachel. You probably didn't copy it.
That's a phone that was K2ZO. You had dropped out. So go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I didn't know whether how much you got. You do know about the DX cluster, so go ahead and look at DX Watch, and you get an idea. But my comment was, and I think Don pretty much said the whole thing there. Use common phonetics and don't make long calls. These guys are going fast and furious. And again, be aware of the stations that are not operating on the frequency they're transmitting on. Quite often, people call them. And called them on the wrong frequency. Back to that.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. There's a station, you're hearing him on one frequency, and he is listening at 5 kilohertz up or 5 kilohertz down from where he's transmitting. So if you want to contact him, you have to split your frequency and transmit that 5 kilohertz up and listen at the 5 kilohertz down.
Right, and you have a radio over there, Jim's radio, that is capable of doing that and doing dual receive. So you'll be able to easily able to do that. Just be aware. And don't be a lid calling them on the frequency. Quite often, you know, a station will say up 5, and people call him right smack on his frequency.
Let's go.
Okay. You'll find that split more on, I think, 40 meters and on 80 meters. You'll hear people on our 80 meter band. We can be up in the high end of the band, but the Europeans, for example, their 80 meter band is 3500 to 3800. So you'll hear somebody on, let's say, 3850, which is U.S. band, calling and saying and listening on 3605. So in other words, he's calling for a European station, an American station, calling the European station on listening on, said he's listening on 3605 for European stations. That's one thing. Also, the same thing on 40 meters, they'll have European stations down below where RCW band is. It's below 7125 is where our sideband portion starts. And they will be saying that, let's say they're on 7070 on 40 meter band, they will say listening up at 250, so they'd be meaning 7250. They were listening on 7250, and actually they're transmitting on 7070. So, yeah, but I think most of the other bands are usually pretty much on simplex, unless you have a rare station that's got a very rare station that would have a need to operate split. Most of them try to work simplex as much as possible, except for those 40 and 80 meter people that I mentioned. Back to net.
All right, this raises an interesting question. The station is splitting frequency so that they are working within the bands that they are licensed for and working bands or listening on bands that we are licensed for, so that allows us to work within the realm of our license and yet be able to have a little bit more bandwidth during a contesting. Is that one reason why it's being done?
Well, of course they've moved things around, but it used to be that we only had the four, I think we were on, we have 40 meters to 7125 and up. A lot of European stations are still down in the 70, in the below 7100. So what they will do, also because of there are broadcast stations out there yet, but what they'll do is ask people to listen or call them on a frequency that's not their frequency. Partially because of the fact that years ago they only had 77,000 to 7,100. So 7040 through 7100 is the phone there for a lot of these people, even yet, I guess. Eventually, I know they've taken that they've moved all the, tried to move most of the shortwave broadcasters out of the 7100 to 7200 region, but there's still some in there. So that's one of the reasons I'd work this split that way.
Thank you, Don. Is there any other station with a comment or a question?
K2ZO.
K2ZO. Jim, go.
Don was saying most of the stuff you're going to hear off the that are operating split are going to be on 40 and 80. Sometimes the action gets so much on, let's say, a 20 meter station that he will move the crowd up, so you'll hear it there, but he'll usually announce it. But probably 90% of the people that you'll encounter during the contest on the you know, on 10, 15, and 20 will be on the frequency that they're transmitting on. So don't worry about that. But when you get on 80, when you get serious and start working some DX on 80 meters, that's when you see people. And the problem is the allocation, where they don't have allocation up in our phone band. So, you know, we have to listen for them in their phone band while they listen to us in our phone band.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Jim. Any other questions or comments?
W2JEK.
Go ahead, W2JEK.
Yeah, one thing, you can work a station on all six bands. I say 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. Not everybody has 160, but even a couple of Canadian stations, it's if you work a Canadian station, that's a couple points, and every point adds in. Usually that's something that's done at night for the, during the night. But if you're working a lot of them on 80 meters, you know, you might not bother with the 160, but it is a help to add it if you have a minute to add a few of those stations in there. But you can work them on, you can work a station on every band. And of course then the, logs into Phil, WA2LXE, so we can use these for a club score. That's one of the reasons. So even if you only make a few contacts on, say,